Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Aulani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Hey, remote broadcast from the Walmart parking lot here.
We're getting very highfalutin around here, John.
You know, sometimes I record from Disney and sometimes from the Walmart parking lot, so you have to go with what you can do. Yeah.
We tried from home, John. It just didn't work out yet, so I feel bad you had to run down the street, and I feel like I'm having a deja vu, but we're going to have a deja vu, right, John?
It is indeed. So, go ahead. This portion of the show is sponsored by Carmen and Brian, formerly Peas and Carrots, because we know they love their sports talk.
Yes, we got into it, but did you watch the national championship playoffs?
Yes, I did. I watched most of the second one. I fell asleep in the third quarter on the Clemson-Ohio State game. But, yeah, I think we mentioned before, Doug, officiating was not the best in either of those games. Is that correct?
No, and neither one of us have any skin in the game, but it was just very sad watching those games last night. It's like, let the kids decide who wins the games. I mean, there was a pass interference call that was so blatant and horrible that I have compared it to you. Like, there's two officials standing there. The kid gets grabbed, ripped to the ground. Like, the guy's, his legs just fell off, and he couldn't run no more. I mean, that's how bad he got. I mean, it was like an earthquake hit, and he fell to the ground, and neither one of them threw the flag. And they even looked, I mean, the whole stadium sees it, and I don't understand how that's not called. I made the equation. It would be like you delivering your wine to a restaurant five cities over, giving it to the owner and not realizing that you made a mistake or not correcting it.
No, that's fine. That's fine. They don't mind. No big deal.
No, I like the other day I said to you, I said, did you see the pictures I put on me on the roof the other day?
Yep.
And people, did you see what the wise bud Tommy Lee wrote? Responded to me.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I love Tommy, but he goes, Doug, don't jump. The Eagles are going to make the playoffs. That was very clever of him. You see who has the brains around this podcast community. It's Tommy.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
there
he married Judith, so look how smart he is.
Yep, good decision.
Yes. But anyway, I'm watching. It would be like me going to two towns over, climbing up on the roof, start doing flashing and putting tar around the chimney and fixing their roof that they never even called me. And then I start yelling at the homeowner to pay me for doing a job that I wasn't even supposed to do. It was so bad, dude. It really was. It was,
you know,
it was.
I don't know. Speaking of that, Doug, did you ever have those, I mean, totally off the subject, but did you have those guys when you were a kid? I don't know if they were popular in New Jersey, but they were all over Florida. They would come by and paint your, address on your driveway without even asking you if you wanted it done or not, and then they would go up to the door and ask you for $20 because they had done this for you.
No, we never had that. No, we
that's the type of thing you're talking about, right?
No, yeah, exactly. We have the storm chasers around here. Like, we'll get a hailstorm And you'll have all these roofing and siding companies beating on your door, telling you they get your house sided for you through the insurance. They get a big insurance scam going on. We get the roof and the siding scams going on all the time, but never one, Johnny. But anyway, we have no skin in the game, but I don't know. And, like, that pass interference, I know LSU beat the crap out of them yesterday, but also nothing was going their way. Oklahoma is a good team, and I think if they'd have got that first down, that would have been in scoring range if they got that pass interference. And, you know, momentum's a big, big thing in football games, and you've seen it happen, John. Just like a basketball team will be up 15 points, and next thing you know, they're losing by 18 because the momentum switched. Or they're losing. The other team will go on like an 18-point run. It's just how all sports are, and you've seen it happen. And I just think every time Oklahoma would try to get something going, the officials would change the course of the game in that game.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about momentum. I don't think it was a bad call in the other game necessarily on this one, but certainly switched momentum because Ohio State had all the momentum going their way. It was 16-0, and that one call where the defensive back got in there and helmet to helmet and got called for targeting, he ejected from the game, and it was targeting from what I saw of it. So it was a good call, but still, it totally switched the momentum. And I mean, that totally took away Ohio State, one of Ohio State's good players, and all of a sudden, you know, Clemson got a first down. They got a first down on the next play with a pass interference call, and all of a sudden they score, and all of a sudden it's a different game.
Yeah. So. And then I don't understand how an SCA officiating team could call that game.
They do that all the time.
But they should have Pac-10 call that. You understand? They should have a total out-of-conference officiating team call these games.
Well, the SEC was in the Clemson-Ohio State game. The Oklahoma and LSU one, they had ACC officials, I think. So it was out of conference. Yeah, they always have out of conference officials in these games.
It was horrible. I mean, did you see that pass interference call? I mean, the fumble call. I mean, not the pass
interference.
Yeah,
that was a bad one too.
If that wasn't a fumble, I mean, why are these people even like who are hiring these people? It's like a strike right down the middle of the plate, and the umpire calls it a ball, and you're like, well, what am I watching here? Dude, the guy took like 18 steps, was dragging the defensive back on his back, and he fumbles it, and then it would have been a pickup and then return for a touchdown. And again, I hate Ohio State with every fiber of my being because I'm a Penn State fan, but I still don't want to see a team lose. Like, don't tell anybody this. I've even watched Cowboy games. There was a Cowboy game about 4 or 5 weeks ago where there was two pass interference calls in the end zone that weren't called that I'm screaming at the TV. And my wife's like, I thought you hate the Cowboys. I said, I do, but I love football more than I hate the Cowboys. And this officiating
is horrible. You hate bad officiating more than anything. So.
I don't care. I just want the best teams to win. I don't want favoritism, and it drives me insane. Let's go to favoritism, John. How was your Christmas? Merry, Merry Christmas, John.
Christmas was great. Just had some friends over. Did a ham. Didn't do a turkey or anything this Christmas. And a small dinner. And I think the most exciting thing was I got my son. He's never been to a live sporting event. So especially where we live, we're pretty remote from everything. No, we did. We went to a Buccaneers game a long time ago. So I'm taking him to an Orlando Magic game in the beginning of February. And you know, the tickets weren't that bad at all, Doug, but what's going to cost is the parking and then a beer. And
I guarantee you the beer won't be $13.
Probably not, but it ain't going to be cheap. I know that. So.
No, but it ain't going to be $13. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the restrooms will be any cleaner than what Disney's are. So that's a toss up. Did you see Jim Tucker's pictures the other day of that? Yesterday,
no.
That was at the over by Columbia, over by Pinocchio's Harbor Ale House. What is it? Pinocchio Harbor House?
Village House.
Yeah, I'm confusing that with Columbia. Yeah, Pinocchio's Village House. The bathroom there, John, looked like it was at the bus station here in Atlantic City. You know, it was just nasty, dude.
Just wore out, huh?
Oh yeah. That
speaking
has
of Jim,
that has
speaking of Jim, he's there at the Magic Kingdom yesterday, and I told him I was working, and that man came and rode Pirates and didn't find me. Jim, really?
That's awful mean.
I thought we were buddies, Jim. I thought we were.
That's awful mean. But I had a good Christmas, Johnny. I had Brenda took care of me as usual, and mom, and I got some nice clothes, and I was telling you earlier, I'll repeat it. I got this nice battery charger that actually sticks to the back of your phone, and it wirelessly charges the phone.
Yeah, it sounds like you're ready for your next trip.
I 100% am, John, and I'm looking forward to coming down and hopefully late spring or early summer. I was saying my wife does not want to come down when there's any possibility of being cold weather this time. She
All
wants
right,
it.
so
She likes the heat.
come after about mid-April and you're pretty good, and you're pretty much guaranteed you're not going to have anything below 60 degrees. So
No, well, that's what we're shooting for. We already have we're already trying to put our eggs in the basket. Again, it's just with my job, trying to figure out. We got three big jobs coming up, just trying to see when they're going to begin and when they're going to end, and how I can fit this trip in between. Because I got to get down there to see Rise of the Resistance, and hopefully both Kylo Rens are working.
Yeah, you were telling me earlier they had both busted out. So that stinks on a brand new attraction, but then again it happens on brand new attractions because things haven't been tested all the way, and you really, until things are up and running, you don't know how, things are gonna are keep going. And I mean, we have animatronic issues almost about three times a day on Pirates of the Caribbean, and that ride's been going for 40 years. So it's gonna happen. So
Yeah, it's just the two main things they got to try to fix that. I hope this don't turn into a Mr. Potato Head is all I'm saying.
no, I hope it doesn't turn into an Expedition Everest is what we're hoping. So
Well, both the Potato Head, he's
just
50-50.
behind.
He's not far behind, am I wrong?
No, he was, well, the last time I was on that, he was working fine. So, but no, one time they just had him behind some walls. So
I will honestly say, and that's probably it's right there in my top 10 favorite rides. I love Toy Story, but I will say that ride, Toy, I will say Mr. Potato Head has not been working more times than he has been working, and I've been on
yeah.
that probably 30 times or more that ride, and I bet you, and I love that ride. I mean, it don't bother me as much because I'm okay with Mousetrap and Etch-a-Sketch and Lincoln Logs. I'm just so into that ride, but I do miss Mr. Potato Head not working. So hopefully Kylo is working because you know the super Star Wars fan that I am now, John.
Yes, you have grown into quite the aficionado over the last couple of weeks. I'm glad I finally corrupted you enough into seeing the movies. Although we totally disagree with your idea of what is good and what is not, but
Oh yeah, I sent you my list the other day, and my list is the better list, John.
me and my family looked at that, and then we all kind of had to take a minute and comprehend the evolution that has led you to this disgusting display of what you think is a good Star Wars movie.
Well, all I know is and I know you're and I'm saying this in the nicest way, but all of you Star Wars fan are corrupted by the original. Because it's sentimental to you. It's kind of like how I'm used to my Disney parks being clean, you know, and my trash cans not overflowing. I'm sentimental to the stuff. To the people now that defend Disney every tooth and nail, they don't know any better. Is what I'm starting to realize. They haven't been there in the heyday when you were treated properly. Does that make sense to you, John?
I suppose. I
Because
suppose.
I'm listening to tweets this week with garbage being around, rides not working, shut down, and I'm listening to people screaming and yelling that like at WDW News today was being trash, Corliss and them, by multiple people saying all they want to do is report bad things. Now this guy has been reporting on Disney for 20 years now, John or more. Would you say that he is a nudge? I would say that they really give a crap about the parks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think anybody, even who, no matter who, if you're reporting on Disney, you're a Disney fan. I mean, if you didn't care, you wouldn't be even being saying anything. If Doug, if you didn't care, you wouldn't complain about it. So, I mean,
Okay, with everything going on with your job, Chris, everything's going on. What have I been saying to you off the air? John, I really want to do a ride show. I want to start doing. I'm crying like a baby off the air. I'm crying like Baby Yoda to you that I want to start doing more shows during the week to get back to. I want to list my top 10 roller coasters if there is 10. You know, I want to get back into the restaurant reviews. And I know I've been telling the fans and listeners that it's just been hard for us because of our schedules. Am I right or wrong, John? And I
Yeah,
know.
you're absolutely right. And you want to get back to
I want to
where
be
people
happy.
actually, Yeah, people actually believe that you like Disney World.
Yeah, I 100% do. The reason I watch this whole Star Wars trilogy is because of how much I love Disney, and Disney owns it. It's on Disney Plus. They built a land. I feel the responsibility is doing this show to actually know who BB-8 actually is, if you understand what I'm saying, instead of saying he's that cute droid. And BB-8 is badass.
It's amazing. Out of all the names, you get that one right. I mean, all the other ones you're calling Ewoks teddy bears, you're calling this guy that, and everything else. But BB-8, you got him. You got him spot on.
Him and R2-D2 and Chewbacca are the three best in the whole series. That's all I'm saying. But to get back to my point, I mean, if I had a rate out of every single actor that was in those movies, I would rate Luke the worst actor and Anakin the second worst actor of the whole series.
All right, so I told my son this, and my son, for some reason, has decided that he wants to watch all of your movies, your Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, they're bad, but they're good fun. They're bad, though. They're
he's
horrible.
He's telling me about this actor in part three that has a southern accent that seems to be...
Oh, that was the worst one ever, because what happened was... No, that was kind of like... how can I put it? That was one that they all went on strike because they wanted more money, so the creators of Fast and the Furious decided to do Fast and the Furious Japan, if you understand what I'm saying. And he's that actor from, he has like a New Orleans accent. He's from CSI New Orleans. It was horrible. It was the worst one of the series. Is there a Star Wars one that you don't agree with that's the worst one that there's one that you don't like the most because that J.J. Abrams didn't direct, right?
Yes, Part 8. I can't stand Part 8. I thought it was the most atrocious Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
Okay, so. And I like Part 8. But anyway, but I get your point. But no, Fast and the Furious is – I'm not even trying to say they're great movies. They're just guy movies. You grab a beer, you grab a couple hot dogs, you sit down and watch Fast Cars. And you know they're idiots. Like, who could jump a car from one skyscraper to the other? It's moronic television is what it is. So – So your son can't pick on me. I could say it's horrible, and I will agree with him. So we're not. There's no fight. There's no fight here. So the point is, though, I think because you guys grew up with it. I know, John, you had your bedspreads, your kids' bedspreads, and his sheets were all Star Wars. So New Hope and all that was great because you liked it as a kid. To me, those three movies are my least favorite.
I might still have a Millennium Falcon pillow slip on my bed currently. I might. I'm not sure. But
and I love you for it. And I love you for it. I'm not – see, there's no wrong in this. But I do like Rey, Finn, and the whole new cast. I think they're pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. So
Rey's okay. I like Finn a lot. He's my favorite character out of the new ones. And I liked Poe until the eighth movie where he is getting ready to attack the Star Destroyer and there's this silly – awkward joke segment of him coming to I don't know. I didn't like that at all. Gross. So.
I understand it because you hold that sacred. I get it. There's certain things in certain movies or certain things that I do that my mother-in-law and them, like, it's kind of like, okay, I'll put it this way. It's kind of like when a team's losing, and we'll go back to the Adventures of Carmen and Brian on YouTube, sponsored in this part. When a football player, you're losing 31-3, and this idiot gets a first down, he has to crawl on his knees and point. I just want to reach in the screen and grab him by his face mask and drag him off the field.
Yeah, or like we were talking earlier, when your defense has been battered the entire game and they finally make a good play, and then they get a flag for doing something stupid after the good sack or something. You know, it's so frustrating.
Or one of your defensive backs gets beat for three touchdowns. He finally defends a pass, and he crosses his arms, and he's posing like Darth Vader on the field. It's like, dude, I just want to smack you. And when they do that stuff to your Star Wars, I could see that's how it would affect you. So I get it. It's very sacred to you. But to me, it's not sacred. I'm just looking at it on action. Luke Skywalker can't fight. He was pretty bad ass in the last one when he came back and posed. But I'm wondering why 1,001 lasers can't shoot him. And I realize he's transporting his, you know, it's his vision, not himself. It's a, what is it? What do they call that? A holograph.
He's
doing that. So I get it. But at least he was okay in that. But the first couple movies, the fight scenes are horrible. And I know you said it's from the 70s. Well, they could make Bruce Lee fight scenes look decent back then, and they were built. They were done with 5 cents of a budget. So they could have made the fight scene.
They were also done with two professional fighters. I mean, or guys could've... that had been trained in martial arts.
Did you ever hear of a stunt man? Put a blonde wig on Luke and let him fight. And Darth Vader was like, he couldn't move. The new Darth Vader now, when he comes in that one, the movie, and starts beating him up when you said he was badass, that was cool.
Yeah, yeah, he was really, really badass there.
So that was good. I like that. But the old one, I'm like, listen, you can't move. How you beat me? And so anyway, I enjoyed the movies. I'm going to go probably. I'm hoping to go see the latest tomorrow or Tuesday, John.
Yeah, your goal is to beat me seeing the last one. I hear you. I know.
Well, so I can be the true Star Wars expert on the show. I have to be.
Yeah.
I know all. I have spoken, John. I have spoken.
There you go. This is the way. Yes. But and one of the biggest actually problems I have, and you should notice this, I would think from watching all of them now except for the last one, Doug, is. As much as I like Star Wars, they really need to go with something else than destroying another giant super weapon. You know,
100%. I mean, dude, I was going to say that.
Episode
4,
we destroyed the Death Star. Episode 6, we destroyed the Death Star. And then there's another one in 7. And now, come on, how many of these mega weapons are out there in the world? Or in the universe? Come on, let's move on to something else.
I was going to say that, John, but I didn't want to offend you really bad after that. Come on, with the Death Star, there can't be another story. Yeah. It's the same thing over and over again. And again, all said and done, it's kind of like fascinating. I enjoy it. It's good. It's good action. Don't take it too seriously. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, but I'm just hoping because, you know, they're wrapping this up with part 9, but they are going to start a whole other giant sequence of movies at some point. And I'm hoping it's a totally different, we can go with a totally different, you know, concept. So
now, do you think it's going to be our Mandalorian series? I know they announced already it's coming back in the fall, but I wonder if there'll be a movie over that.
I don't know necessarily if Mandalorian will play in it in some capacity, but maybe Baby Yoda will, you know?
So. Yeah, well, Baby Yoda is awesome, dude. He is awesome. He cracks me up. He is so cool, dude. So cute, so cool. And even with that, did you watch The Last Mandalorian yet? The latest?
I have not seen that. I've got it downloaded, and I'm probably going to watch it before I start watching football today.
Okay. It's really good. It's really sad, but it's very good. So you'll enjoy it. I just realized this the other day. I'm like, who is Keel's voice? Who is Keel's voice? And I couldn't figure it out. And do you know who it is?
Yeah, the dude that died in episode 8 or season or yeah, episode 8, right? the Dreadnought. It's what's his name? I know who it is because I saw it at the beginning of the show.
I'm talking about in Mandalorian.
Yes, in episode 8. The dude that died, right?
Yes.
What's his name?
It's Keel.
Keel. Yeah, because he's a Dreadnought or Drugnought?
Yeah.
Drugnought, something like that. But anyhow, I can't think of it right now, but I know who it is because I saw it in the captions. So, who is it?
It's Nick Nolte.
Yeah, that's
But I knew his voice, and it kept getting me because, I mean, come on, 48 hours. Nick Nolte's been in some of the, the basketball movie? I can't think of it. Blue Chips.
Yeah,
I love Nick Nolte, but I loved him with Eddie Murphy in the 48 Hour movies. You ever watch him?
Yep. Yeah, when I first episode 1 of The Mandalorian, somehow it skipped to the end and I'm watching the credits instead of the beginning of the movie or beginning of the show. And it had, and you know how the credits come up and it says by order of appearance, and then it had the actors, and I saw Nick Nolte on there, and I'm like, okay, so he's in here. Where's he at? And then of course I rewound and watched the show, and I'm like, well, I never saw Nick Nolte, so where was he? So yeah, that makes sense. It was his voice. So
no, I'm so sad he's gone. Sorry, spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah.
But you know we're idiots. We're live. We're not editing this, so we are very sorry to ruin that, but. I got a little tear in the corner of my eye when he was gone. John.
Yeah, he was a very cool character, and you gotta like it. He doesn't argue. He just says, "I have spoken," and walks away.
Yes. I got
no
take,
argument in that man.
I gotta take that down. I gotta take that down as my mantra. Do you think we can get our wives to agree with that? I have spoken.
They just walk out of the room.
Yes. I better not ever walk back in the room, John. That's all I'm saying. We better just keep walking, and that's about it. But
I want Doug to go in where Brenda's sitting today and go, okay, we're going to Walt Disney World June 8th through the 27th. I have spoken, and walk out.
Yes. Yes. I might get my mouse ears shoved somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly is right. But no, I'm really enjoying The Mandalorian. I like seeing my boy Carl Weathers in it. Gina Carano does a good job. I like her. I like her character in it.
Yeah, I like a lot of the characters in it. So, yeah, and it's really well done. So I'm enjoying that so far. So, yeah, it's done by
John Favreau.
Yeah, John Favreau. So it's always interesting. I'm waiting to see him pop in there somewhere. So,
yeah, he usually does.
Yeah, he has a tendency to put himself in stuff, so.
Yeah, he's kind of like how they put What's-His-Face from Marvel in there all the time.
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee, yeah. He's going to be the new Stan Lee in all these movies.
There you go. Yeah. Well, he did it in Avengers, so, yes. Yeah.
No, I love him, dude. I love the Avengers. I'm excited to see okay, now this Mandalorian's done for the year. I'm excited to see where – they have one more episode left, right?
I don't know. I thought that was 10. The last one. I'm not sure.
I think it's 10. I could be wrong. It's rare that I am wrong, but I could be. I'm not sure. But with this being over, it's basically almost at the end or is the end. I'm looking to see. I'm not a High School Musical kind of guy. I think you guys could see that. If you enjoy it, but I'm not watching that. But I'm looking forward to seeing what other series they come with on the channel. I'm hoping for a Jessica Jones, an Iron Fist, something like that, kind of the Marvel universe coming to the site, to the streaming service, to Disney Plus. What do you think?
I enjoyed a lot of those that they had separate. Daredevil, Punisher.
Yes.
Yeah, all those were good. So, but I think something like the Punisher, even though it's Disney Plus, you know, and they would have. I would guess warnings on there. Punisher is a little too harsh for Disney, yeah. But certainly some of the other heroes. I think Daredevil would have fit in well.
You could still put parental controls on there. Yeah, do what you got to do. I mean, make the parents do a little bit of work. That's the problem with half these shows. I mean, you can put parental controls on these TV channels. You don't have to cry that your kids have seen something. Do your work and stop them from watching it.
Exactly. Or if you're going to watch something and you think it may be a little offensive, watch it with them so you can explain stuff to them. You know,
100%. Quit your whine, do a little work. But and I will say though, I hope they do get it better as it moves forward. But out of all the streaming services I have, Disney Plus is the one I have the most problem with. It's streaming.
I know it's the one I've watched the most so far. I've had Netflix and Hulu for well over, I think, 2 years, and I've spent... No, I watched, like I said, I watched a lot of the Daredevil stuff on Netflix. Or now I watch Stranger Things on Netflix. But still, Disney Plus, I'm almost on every other day watching something. So
I love the content. I'm enjoying the service. It just, when I'm streaming it, I'm having problems, like, the most with it. It's annoying sometimes. It'll take me 3 or 4 times to get the airdrop. Where Apple Plus, I do the same thing with that, the Apple TV, and that works every single time. And when even on the PlayStation 4 down here, because that's where I use to stream all my streaming services. I have them all right on there. Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu. I never have a problem with it. I get kicked out multiple times on Disney Plus. I don't know. Maybe Bob Iger sees my tweets and he's doing it on purpose to me. What do you think, John?
I don't know. I wish I had this problem. I have to download stuff and then hope like heck that I can hook it up to my television to watch, or either I have to watch what I've downloaded on my tablet when I get home. So I wish I had the capability to do all this fancy airdrop stuff. So no. I can't do anything like that. So
no, but again, everybody calls me to moop. I got to complain. We read the news on Sundays, and I got to give my honest opinion, and I think that's why you guys listen to this show. Our good buddy Robbie out in California, he listed all his favorite shows. Did you see we were at the top of his list, John? He put out his top 10 podcasts of the year.
So, I knew I liked that guy for a reason.
Yeah, I will get the check out to him very soon. Thanks, Robbie. You did your services rendered. I will send you out your check. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody who does listen to this show. But you guys know on Sunday I got to give my honest opinion. But I promise we will get John at the Walmart more often and try to do some.
John, get up to the Walmart. We got to record a show.
We got to do something fun, John. I wanna tell you that Slinky Dog I like more than Expedition Everest and listen to you cry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
sad.
To that. I'm looking forward to you being the bad guy every once in a while, Johnny.
Yeah.
If you guys have any doubt how much I love Disney, we're still doing this. I have Disney Plus. I watched all the Star Wars. I want to go to the land and know as much as humanly possible. And did you see, I call him my grandbaby. He's my godson's son. Did you see the picture I posted of Logan on Twitter?
No, I didn't.
If you get a chance, head on over to Twitter, John, and check it out. I put his picture up because we gave him all his Christmas gifts. We got him a Buzz Lightyear with the blanket, the stuffed animal that comes with the blanket. We got him a train set that is Disney. It's for, you know, ages, his age, up to 18 months. You know what I'm saying, John? It's for youngins. We looked. But it's a train that, it's a big track that you put out, and the cars make noise. It has Mickey Mouse faces on it. And then we got him Disney pajamas, and Ashley put him in his Disney pajamas and sent me the picture how much he loves his Disney pajamas. So I'm starting to kid off right. You know, he's a year old, and we already buying him nothing but Disney stuff. So
there you go. There you go. You got to train him early.
Yeah, so I love Disney, guys. Please don't think my hate is out of not love. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of love, John, let's go to love. I got to get this. I might have you buy this like I get Judith to buy the Spirit jerseys. I could probably wait till I get there, but if I hear rumors that it's going away, I might have to send you some PayPal money. Did you see the I Conquered the People Mover trucker hat yet?
I was looking at that a little earlier. They look pretty cool, don't they?
Yeah, I got to get me one of them, John.
Well, you are a hat guy, so am I. So, yeah, I think maybe we'll both end up with one of these, huh?
100%. I think we'll end up with that, and I think I could see Judith making you buy the Baby Yoda Spirit jerseys, the Mandalorian Baby Yoda Spirit jerseys arrive at Walt Disney World.
So Lisa will have to have one of those, too. So.
Yeah, they are really cool. I mean, if you guys didn't judge me, I might have to get one. Right, John?
Yeah, why not?
I'd be judged pretty hard, John. I could just see me wearing that to work. I might not make it out alive.
Yeah, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover may just be the Magic Kingdom's most thrilling attraction. Sweeping views, smooth turns, and thrilling passes through buildings leave guests with a huge adrenaline rush when they disembark. And if you need to take a break from the Magic Kingdom after your absolutely thrilling experience, you can head over to Disney Springs and pick up an awesome trucker hat. That's right, you can take home an awesome I Conquered the People Mover hat right now.
And that's it's only at the Springs right now?
Yeah, $27.99, which is typical, I think, is more. Their hats are priced right now between $24.95 and $27. So the hat features Space Mountain set of People Mover cars on a dark blue background. The words "The People Mover" are written in a retro futuristic font with the final E and first P connected. Overall, the font design is a very 60s, 70s-esque futuristic style. A thin strip extends around part of the hat's right side. The meshes are far lighter blue, contrasting the darker blue on the front. And on the back, the word Tomorrowland is written all in lowercase, so those who admire your hat can know from whence your marvelous triumph occurred. Yes, and all who see you shall fear the one power enough to conquer the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. If you're looking to pick up this fine accessory, we spotted it at World of Disney and Disney Springs, but I'm sure it'll be shops across the Magic Kingdom in no time. Well, there you go, probably. Until then, we'll keep our eyes peeled. Are you ready to show off your pride and accomplishment to all around you? I am. What do you think, Doug?
No, I am, but I didn't think it would be $27.99, John. I might have to go into my piggy bank for this one.
Yeah, I bet you could spend it.
Yeah, I might have to call the World of Disney and just get them to ship it to me. make it a $55 hat. No, but I really like that, John. I really do.
Hats I can do for first class, so I think probably $6 would cover the shipping on that. So I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, I'll have to check into that and see what they do. Sometimes you could even get it on Shop Disney. So I'll have to check on there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you do find some of that stuff from the parks on there every once in a while.
Yeah, they go back and forth. But now that's a cool hat. I'm very excited about it. That's I don't buy a lot of gifts and stuff down there. My gifts to myself are good food, John. That's what me and Brenda spend most our money on. But I usually get a hat every year, and I could see that one being the hat I get.
I get a hat, and every once in a while I see one that I know is not going to make it to my Cast Connection discount store, and I don't believe this one will make it there, so I'll probably have to buy me one too. So
yeah, dude, if I could get into that Cast Connection store year round with the hats, I'd probably go broke.
Well, you know, anytime you want to go.
Yeah, I have to get. Well, next trip down, I'll get you to take me over there for sure. Times have been tough with the hours lately, John, when we're down there, getting you over and seeing you. And we had more fun at Tutu Gusto's than we would have there. So, you know what I'm saying? And drinking beers at the, where were we at? Rosencrown Pub. So we had a pretty good day that day.
Yeah.
Speaking of drinking beers, John, it's about time this place opens. The new place over by the NBA Experience. Maybe they'll get some people in the door. The City Works Eatery and Poorhouse officially opening in January. So I'm looking forward to this,
time.
John.
Yeah, you're not the only one. It will bring me have a better chance of bringing me over than the actual NBA Experience. So.
Yeah, hopefully it draws people in. It says yesterday they saw signage installed at the City Works Eatery and Poorhouse. We wished upon a star the new restaurant would open for the Super Bowl watching, so everybody's hoping for that. Well, the beer drinking gods heard our wishes, and now City Works will open in January 2020. You can go over to the restaurant's website where the food menu is available. I'll pop that up in a minute. There's supposed to be over 80 beers here, John.
I was going to say 80 bars, Doug. I don't know. That would be quite the accomplishment if you can knock it out in the weekend.
I'll tell you what, there's close to 80 bars at Disney Springs now.
I think you're right, at least. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah, if there's 20, no, there's probably, 30 restaurants, and if each one has two to three bars, so.
Well, I pulled up their menu here, John. They got, for shareables, they got buffalo shrimp, buffalo chicken dip, duck nachos. Oh, speaking of that, now, I want to go off on a story I heard this week, John. Of somebody getting food poisoning in flight, and they're suing the airline. I mean, they're going out, they're mad at the airline, and blah, blah, blah. John, this person on this airline had the duck ravioli. Would you ever have duck ravioli on an airplane?
it's hard for me to eat anything off of a plane because I saw the way I we used to deliver to the catering services on airplanes, and I was never really impressed with the way it, and not that it's dirty, but it just it looks like the most bland food ever created. And so no, I don't think I would try the duck ravioli. If anything, I'm gonna stay with something prepackaged like the peanuts.
Exactly. Like I'm listening to this, I'm thinking maybe the peanuts got something happened crazy or whatever, and the guy goes, my duck ravioli, when I was having it, I felt, I'm like, what? Then I had to rewind it and say, duck ravioli on a plane. I mean, dude, it would have to be the perfect place. Like, it would have to be at Disney World at one of the finer restaurants for me to even take a chance on a duck, let alone duck ravioli in an airplane. Do you agree?
Yeah, there's a lot of – and yeah, I don't know. And you think about the airplane movie, you know, don't eat the fish. So.
Yes. I mean, I'm like, holy moly. Yeah, I'll have to – the salmon, the duck ravioli, and a filet mignon raw, please. I mean, come on. You're in a plane. Don't order duck ravioli and then blame them. Sometimes you got to blame yourself for some things, right? Am I wrong, John?
Yeah, you do, and maybe duck ravioli on an airline. Unless it was, you know, if it was Delta First Class or, you know, I mean, no, what if it was, you know, one of the expensive airlines First Class, I guess.
Okay, second of all, even if it's right, do you really want the duck on a plane? Think about that. I mean, I don't want anything going to make my stomach fly south for the winter. Try to eat with some kind of thinking of other people on the plane too. You know, I'm not gonna have chicken wings with hot sauce and nachos on a plane and share that with everybody else.
Can I get that big bowl of chili, please?
Yes, I mean, come on, with the baked the pork and beans too.
Yeah.
You know, all I want to do is take a leak in the bathroom on a plane. If you know, I mean, show some compassion for your fellow people in flight. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let's get back to the menus.
Whatever you're saying.
Yes. They got smoked chicken wings here, John, mushroom flatbread, barbecue chicken flatbread, and Kung Pao cauliflower. And the prices for all these are anywhere $18, $14, $15, and they're considered shareable, so they should be pretty big portions. So they're considered bar bites. So, and the shareables. What else do we have here, Johnny? Going to the menu, buddy. Burgers.
I know the beer list is going to be pretty impressive from what you're saying. So 80 different beers.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They have the burgers are here. What do we have? The City Works burger. They have a scorpion burger, which is I'll have the scorpion burger and the duck ravioli, please. It's a habanero peppers, pepper jack, jalapenos, 5 pepper jam, arugula, vine ripe tomatoes, and scorpion pepper aioli for $18. Yeah, I'll have that and the duck ravioli on my first class flight.
No?
That sounds like you're asking for trouble eating that scorpion burger. I mean, go for it. Chase it down with one of those Vikings over at Norway in Epcot.
Yeah, there you go.
Be a real man that day. Then they got bacon cheeseburger. They got an impossible burger. Meat lovers. It's plant-based, John. Enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay,
they got
sure.
A salmon burger and an ahi burger. So that's a nice little selection. Handhelds. What do we have here for handhelds, John? A Nashville hot chicken wrap, a filet mignon sliders for $21, fried chicken sandwich, grilled chicken sandwich, steak sandwich, and they have pulled pork sandwiches. They're, all the prices here, the most expensive, of course, would be the filet mignon sliders, but they're only $21. Pulled pork sandwich for $18. Oh, I'm sorry. They also have a steak sandwich, which is $24. It's French onion soup style, grilled onions and smoked provolone toasted ciabatta bread for $24. It sounds like they're trying to do a Philly cheesesteak. I'll pass. I'll do the filet mignon sliders. They have tacos here.
What looks the best here, Doug, actually, in a way to get some samples is their happy hour menu. Now you get $2 off well drinks, local craft beers, and glasses of wine. You get $7 bar bites. So you go there with somebody else and you try a couple of these. You got pretzel bites for $7, cheese curds for $7, popcorn chicken, and firecracker rolls, which sound good. Marinated spicy Cajun chicken, vegetable medley, avocado cream, fried pickles, buffalo chicken dip, and Kung Pao cauliflower, all for $7.
That sounds so, very good.
Yeah, and that'd be a great way to try a couple of different items. So
absolutely. I mean, the tacos here, they have chicken tinga. And that's how it's T-I-N-G-A. Is that how you would pronounce it, Tinga?
Tinga sounds appropriate to me.
Before Robbie. Oh, I love the way Doug messes up all the names.
Hey, he had us ranked as his favorite podcast. Yes. So you know what? He can make fun of you all he wants.
Love you, Robbie. Anyway, ahi tuna taco. Fish taco was a it's a cornmeal beer battered mahi-mahi. And I love it when – that's one thing I do like. And one thing I don't like, when you tell me about a fish taco, I want to know what fish it is. I hate any menu that says sustainable fish. Tell me what the fish is on the menu. I don't want to hear sustainable.
That's constantly through Disney.
It annoys the hell out of me.
Yes, and I always wonder what fish they're talking about. And anytime I see that, I just assume it's tilapia.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the one that they farm, and it's easy to get.
I'm not buying it. Because that's the worst fish for you. My buddy Eric, I argue with him about it, and I could be wrong. Judith will probably let me know. But he told me there's more fat content in tilapia than there is eating red meat.
I've heard that's true, too.
So, me and my wife there for years, I would tell Eric, I'm eating tilapia today. I'm grilling some tilapia. He goes, what are you trying to kill yourself? Like, what? He goes, I'm eating the steak. He goes, the steak's worth. He goes, no, the tilapia's worth. And he's a butcher. And he would tell me his heart doctor told him, listen, tilapia is not good for you. So I don't want tilapia suing me. This is just rumors, hearsay, and I am not 100% sure. But ever since he told me that, I don't eat tilapia anymore.
No, I've heard this. I've heard the same thing. I've heard that tilapia is, and it's like one of those things where, you know, you think fish and you think grilled, and you're thinking, wow, this is great for me, and apparently it isn't. But no, again, like you said, neither one of us are professionally trained physicians. So,
And that's the reason why I don't even eat anything farm raised, because I hear, because the fish are all stuck in the tanks, they build up more fat content than a wild fish. They're not swimming. It makes sense. You're not exercising the way you would.
Yeah, you know, and you're not eating what you're supposed to be eating.
Exactly.
You're eating a meal, you know, pellets that somebody's giving you. So.
Yeah, so I don't eat anything. We even our salmon, if it says farm-raised, we're not – me and Brenda's out. Everything is wild-caught. So, plus, I, again, want to keep my commercial fishermen working. I don't want one guy with a tank full of 1,000 fish to feed the country. You know what I'm saying, Johnny? But – this sounds really good. Cornmeal, beer battered, mahi-mahi, chipotle coleslaw, pico de gallo, cilantro lime cream, micro cilantro. Oh, I'm going to tell them to hold that. White corn. I'm not eating this, John. You would probably love it. White corn tortilla, corn and black bean salad. But it's only $19. And then they also have a short rib one. So they have a lot of options on this menu. And what do we have for entrees here, Johnny?
You got a salmon for $29. It's got butternut squash puree, olive oil poached fingerling potatoes, salsa verde, succotash. So that sounds pretty good. You got a fish and chips, Alaskan cod. See, you know what kind of fish it is.
Yes.
Doug. Beer battle coleslaw, malt vinegar powder. Powder? Malt vinegar powder?
All right,
sure. Cornichon tartar sauce, pork chop, 10-ounce bone-in center cut pork chop. Potato puree, chipotle maple glaze, cinnamon spiced apples, crispy buttermilk onion rings. I'm not a big fan of pork chops, so that actually sounds pretty good and different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a pork tenderloin guy, not a chop.
Yeah. Smoked barbecue ribs, hardwood smoked full rack baby back ribs, homemade barbecue sauce, spicy maple bacon baked beans, and mascarpone creamed corn. It sounds interesting. Short rib. Maybe Bob will have to give this place a try. He's a short rib aficionado. Braised boneless short rib, creamy grits. It's got, well, he had polenta, but grits is basically almost the same thing. Bacon tomato jam, crispy pickled fennel, au jus gravy, Cajun linguine, blackened chicken, and andouille sausage, bell peppers, scallions, sriracha cream, 22, filet medallions, pan-seared filet medallions, blue cheese, mashed potatoes. Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh, yes, it does.
Sautéed baby arugula, red wine demi-glaze. That's 36.
Hey, Carmen, that's gluten-free, honey.
There you go. Actually, I see a lot of gluten-free stuff on this.
The smoked barbecue ribs are gluten-free, too.
Right. And the chicken, smoked half chicken, house-made barbecue sauce, spicy maple bacon beans, 25, and the barbecue platter, smoked baby back ribs, half chicken, pulled pork, Louisiana hot link, lime queso butter, grilled corn, spicy maple bacon baked beans. So, yeah, that sounds like something shareable, Doug. I don't think –
Dude, you took the words out of my mouth. I could see me and Brenda sharing that barbecue platter and then grabbing one of the sides to go with it. You know what I'm saying? And that would be like an ultimate meal.
Yeah, half chicken, some pulled pork, a link. Yeah, that's a lot of food there. So I think that's definitely shareable.
I'll tell you what, this is on the to-do list next trip. This menu looks really good.
Yeah, it does, and it's about what you expect at Disney, but it's not ludicrous, you know, so.
And then they have breakfast all day here, John, which is pretty cool. Remember when I was in my early 20s, I'd pull an all-nighter, wake up at noon, I could go for some breakfast. they have what is that? Shakshuka. Spicy tomato sauce, sunny side up eggs, goat cheese, toasted garlic baguette. It's vegan, $17. Breakfast tacos. Scrambled eggs, bacon, green onion, smoked tomato, chipotle maple glaze, smoked cheddar with corn tortilla, cheesy potatoes, casserole. Now, if I could get a flour taco or a wheat taco, I'd be in. I don't like dude, there's something about the aftertaste of the corn tacos. I just can't do them. Steak and eggs, $25, New York strip. And then every place has to have either pumpkin spice or avocado. They have avocado toast for $17. So,
Yeah, we'll have to, I guess we'll have to wait until next September, October for the place to have some pumpkin spice, because they'll have to have that too, you know.
And then they have, this is pretty cool. I definitely got to go here now. They have a brunch too. They have the rock and roll brunch served Saturday and Sunday from open until 3 p.m. And this is what they have here, John.
Oh my goodness.
John Bon Jovi. You give food a bad name. No, it's a warm jumbo cinnamon roll, vanilla icing for $10. $10. Doc of the baguettes.
Is beignets. Doc of the beignets.
Beignets. That's $10. Sweet child, oh my. brioche bread, belly cream cheese, vanilla bean ice cream battered, mixed berry compote, powdered sugar, vegan.
I got the next one, Johnny Hash.
I've been in a burning ring
of
bagels.
Short rib, red and green bell peppers, onions, potatoes, jalapeno, salsa verde, sunny side up eggs. Ooh, that sounds good.
Chaka Khan, you gotta love me, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. Read that one, John.
Shashuka with spicy tomato sauce, sunny side up eggs, goat cheese, toasted garlic baguette, 17.
White wedding. Who was that?
That's Billy Idol. Egg white frittata with goat cheese, asparagus, tomato, onion, basil, fennel, herb salad for 18.
The Clash Smash, John.
Smashed avocado. There's Doug's avocado.
Yes.
Smashed avocado on toasted challah, roasted corn, pickled red onion, shaved radish, sliced hard-boiled egg.
$17. Easy like doing the podcast with me on Sunday morning.
There you go. Breakfast flatbread topped with house-made sausage, scrambled eggs, bacon, mozzarella, smoked cheddar. Could they have put any more on here? Garlic puree and arugula. Holy cow.
It's easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah, that doesn't sound easy.
This is what you call me off the air, John. Go ahead, you could say it.
I can't say that word on the podcast.
Okay, the ass, but you're gonna call it the boss, right? 8-ounce New York strip steak, eggs any style, cheesy potato casserole, $25. The guy had lox and roll.
Lox and roll, whiskey house cured salmon on flatbread with dill cream cheese, grape tomatoes, mozzarella cheese, red onion, capers, arugula, citrus mustard, and vinaigrette.
And mother's little helper.
Our hangover bowl. Ooh. Filled with smoked cheddar grits, braised pork belly, breakfast sausage link, fried egg, and smoked tomato charred scallion relish.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Goodness gracious. Breakfast tacos with scrambled eggs, bacon, green onion, smoked tomato, chipotle maple glaze, smoked cheddar, white corn tortillas, and a cheesy potato casserole.
Love me two times, babe. Is that the Doors?
Yeah, yep. Two eggs any style, two house smoked thick cut bacon strips, two breakfast sausage links, toasted challah bread, cheesy potato casserole.
And then this is one of my favorite groups. Breakfast in America in the morning. Was it Supertramp? Did you like Supertramp, John?
Oh, that might have been a year or two before mine. Before my time. I remember Supertramp a little bit, not much though.
Oh, they were phenomenal.
It's gonna be a sandwich served on a green onion cheddar biscuit with aged cheddar, scrambled eggs, breakfast sausage patty, cheesy potato casserole.
And then get them to the Greek.
Greek yogurt, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, house-made almond, granola, honey, brown sugar.
Now, you know, idiots like me are going to come in here and go, give me easy like Sunday morning.
they wouldn't have made the menu like that if they didn't want people doing that. So.
And then I get to see them. I've walked in through a burning ring of fire. Give me Johnny Hash is my daily desire. Burn, burn, burn the ring of fire. Oh, I'm hilarious, ain't I, John?
Actually, that was a lot of fun reading their menu. Thank you, NBA.
Yes, I enjoyed that. See, this is what this show is supposed to be about, John.
Yep. They're ruining with the unclean restrooms.
Yes, that's my problem. But that menu and the prices are awesome. They weren't bad at all.
No, they weren't bad at all. And like I said, I think if anything, I'm going to go try that $7, the happy hour little shareables for $7. You can get, you know, there are two of you there. You can get three or four of those and have a decent little sampling of quite a bit on the menu. So.
No, have a great time. I haven't been really disappointed in any of the restaurants at Disney Springs. I mean, you're the only one with the Boathouse. Everything else we pretty much have liked, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And SDK being a little snobby to me, but besides that.
Well, and I wasn't horribly disappointed with the Boathouse. It was just we had crappy service, and it did not feel like a $150 meal. That was all. So.
No, you were disappointed. You could say it, John. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be a nudge, though. But, you know, I mean, it for that type of money, I expected more, frankly. So.
No, you could have gone to Spice Road Table and had 10 times the meal and been happy.
I could have ate at Spice Road Table 3 times for the price I paid for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
This is something we haven't spoke about in a while, and I'm excited about this. We yelled and screamed about it for years, and they're finally doing it. But it's been kind of under wraps for a while. The bridge going from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom.
Thank God.
They're working on that. Construction's underway, and... I mean, John, we yelled about that on this show, I think, since I started with Scott. I've mentioned about, why the hell is that resort the most expensive one on property? I have the worst transportation. You know, I never got that.
And you're literally, what would you say, less than a quarter, not even a quarter of a mile from the entrance to the Magic Kingdom, and you can't walk there.
No.
It never made any sense to me. So.
No, so, and I, dude, one of the highlights of my... One of my trips when this opens is going to be headed over to the new Enchanted Rose, the new bar over there that used to be Meisner's.
Yeah, the Beauty and the Beast bar.
Yeah, head over there, get a snack appetizer, or maybe do breakfast at the Grand Floridian, because that's one of the reasons we eat at Contemporary all the time. I like to eat there and then mosey on over to the Kingdom. Yeah, it works out good. Or the pot. It would be nice to go enjoy some. I don't enjoy the restaurants at the Grand Floridian because. It's back in a cul-de-sac. It's like you don't enjoy going there.
You get all the way over there, but then you have to go all the way around.
You get my point with that. It would be nice if you could head over there, have a nice dinner, and then walk over to the Magic Kingdom too, wouldn't it?
See the fireworks?
I've never understood how they've never had this bridge. It should have been one of the first things they built. So they're finally getting it right, so hats off to you, Disney. I can't wait to walk that bridge.
Absolutely.
What else we have here, Johnny? The updates still going on. Mouse Gears is going to be closing pretty soon. That's pretty sad, John.
Yeah, but I have a feeling their new store will be just as cool. But yeah, Mouse Gear has been the one that's been there forever. So, actually, at one time before they even opened the character spot that was on the other side over there. And what was that? In Inventions West.
Yeah.
They used to have characters at the back of Mouse Gear, and it was kind of a hidden little area. So we've got some great pictures with my son when he was very small over there. So yeah, it's a little sad to see it closing.
Yeah, they're gonna put up a temporary one in the Inventions building and all that stuff. They're gonna be moving stuff all around. They're actually doing what we talked about too, John. I'm not reading the story. I just read the story. They are gonna be building temporary walkways now through. Their future world too, John. That is
coming. They're gonna have to.
Yeah, so what else do we have here, John? Future world construction update, it's showing all that. So let me go through here real quick, and it just looks sad walking through there, John. I mean, it's a shame they just can't figure out a way just to drop you off over by the land. You know, where you can walk in that way, you know what I mean, and not even see all this.
Let's just ignore all that stuff up front.
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than any, and I'm not, this ain't even picking on it, it's just the worst setup, it just looks like a total mess up there, don't it?
Yeah, it is, it really is, it's not a lot of fun, you know, I mean, Disney does do an okay job of
hiding stuff.
Yeah, of hiding some stuff, but in sections like this where they're basically redoing an entire area, it's hard to hide. And man, all them construction walls, it just makes you feel like you're in a cattle chute when you're walking through them. It's not the most comfortable feeling in the world.
Well,
it's not very relaxing.
No, all kidding aside, I mean, it's a shame. Like, hopefully after Guardians, because Guardians of the Galaxy and all that area is getting close to being done, hopefully... That the shell and everything. I know they're still a while away from getting all the animatronic and everything inside working that they're going to need whatever that ride has. But it would be nice if there was walkways, one coming in back by the land and one coming in over by or see the Living Seas and one coming in over by what you call it, a test track, like somewhere, like just keep you out of the center there. There's gonna have to be a way maybe to get you in both sides. Wouldn't that make sense to alleviate crowds?
Yes, it would. So they're gonna have to figure something out because it's not a pleasant experience right now. Now if I'm going, well, see, and that, now they've even taken my other way. I mean, my way would have certainly been to park over at Hollywood Studios and walk and go in through the International Gateway or take the Skyway. But now you can't even really do that because there's so many people at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, we're all going to love it when it's done. I know I'm going to be happy, but once Spaceship Earth goes down, that whole center area is done. So why even let you even go near it?
Yeah,
I'm surprised OSHA even allows it. I mean, I'm surprised Disney even. I mean, dude, you know how much work is going on? Like, I look at these pictures. I mean, there's backhoes and bulldozers, like, right on the other side of the fence of hundreds of people walking. Like,
yeah.
One guy don't hit the brake on one of these bulldozers or these little mini cats. It could be ugly.
Yeah, and then bobcats get out of control. And I've seen that happen before, too,
yes.
On the flight. So, yeah.
Somebody over testing the 80 beers at Disney Springs when it opens. You know
what I'm saying?
It just, I don't know. They moved to Starbucks, too, so the Starbucks is open. That'll make Robbie happy.
Yeah, apparently he loves Starbucks in Disney parks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a Joffrey kid, isn't he? He does not like Starbucks.
I don't know. He was very upset about the Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was ready to send him an aspirin and tell him to put it underneath his tongue. As I said, he was getting about the Starbucks. Yeah, but the new Starbucks location is open already over there by Canada. So on the walkway to the Rose Walkway to Canada. So I don't know. My wife loves Starbucks. So now she likes this new. It's an off the menu deal. It's called the London Fog. It's a tea. It's an Earl Grey tea. It isn't on the menu that you can order it. So we feel super special now.
Yeah, there's a couple of places like that
at
Disney that have stuff that's off the menu that supposedly if you go up and talk to the counter service or the waiter or waitress that
they'll
you can
hook
you get
up.
That yeah, it's not necessarily on the menu. So.
Yeah, it's the temporary place is called the Traveler's Cafe. The newly expanded Beaches and Cream restaurant opened up, John.
Have you ever eaten there?
A gazillion years ago, Johnny.
Yeah, I think me and my son were going to get a cheeseburger in there one time, but that was before they had even allowed you to get reservations, and it was like an hour and a half wait. And like, for a burger, that's okay. So.
Me and Brenda attempted that last trip for one of those late night snacks. Like, we took Uber over to Yacht and Beach Club, and then we were leaving to go pick our Uber up over at the Yacht and Beach Club. And you know how at Disney you've already eaten four times, and you still get that late night 11 o'clock hunger pains. You know what I'm talking about, John.
Well, they got to get something to eat.
Yeah, so we were going to mosey on in there, and that place was wall to wall. That was before the renovation, but it is nice. It looks bigger. It still has the same style to me, like, you know, the beachy look, you know, but
yeah, it says Beaches and Cream is back open today following an extensive remodel, which has seen the popular soda shop restaurant expand into part of the next door arcade. The restaurant is open for walk-up today's and tomorrow, and will begin to accept reservations on the 26th, so that's passed already. All of the old favorites are still on the menu, along with some new additions. So they're showing some good looking sandwiches, a nice shake. And it looks like maybe it'll be a little easier to get into, and the arcade's a little smaller now, but.
Well, I think we could deal with that. I mean, I love a good pinball machine, good arcade. I love my old Asteroids and Pac-Man, and you know what I'm saying? Donkey Kong was my favorite, but I think there's enough entertainment going on that you don't need the arcade that big, you know, when you're at Disney World. It's kind of like, enjoy where you're at, get off the phone, get off the computer, and go out and enjoy the property. You know what I mean.
Yeah, the arcade's a nice diversion every once in a while, especially on a rainy day. But, yeah, I'm sure they still have plenty of games left in there.
Well, so. The arcade I know is the best probably when a mom and or the father and son or father and daughter are waiting for mom to get ready, and they can say, meet us down at the arcade in the morning. You know what I mean, Johnny.
Yeah, me and my son might have had some really good NASCAR driving battles in the arcade at Port Orleans Riverside. So, doing exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And me and Brenda have competed a few times at Riverside. She likes the racing game, too. And don't tell her I said this, but she can drive pretty good, John. when she beats me, I let her win, but you know, she actually beat me. So I'm just saying. Magic Kingdom main entrance improvement near completion. Thank goodness for that, John.
Yeah, this has been a mess, so it's been a long time coming. It's going to be interesting to see how this happens and where they're gonna, the tram's going to be dropping you off. Oh, well, this is up front. Yeah. Well, I mean, they still have to finish the whole tram drop-off area, so, yeah, they're still working on that. So.
But they're getting closer, John. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be happy about this because my grandmom used to give me these all the time, John. One of my favorites. New M&M store opening at the Disney Springs, John.
You know, Doug, I walked past the store. There's one in the Florida Mall. I was at the Florida. Actually, I talked to you when I was out there a couple of weeks ago. I was wandering around looking for maybe a Christmas gift or something, and there's a M&M store in the Florida Mall, and there was, I hate to say it, there was like one person in there shopping, and who buys an M&M t-shirt or a spirit jar? I guess, but
well, people are into that like everything else. Like, I have a couple NASCARs that are worth a lot of money because of the M&M logo on them.
Yeah,
the other thing is kind of like Zippo lighters. Like, there's certain iconic things in our country. Like, anything with Zippo on it has value. You know what I'm saying, John?
Well, Doug, I might know that one, and Levi Strauss, because that was the thing. That was the thing to buy before we went on our med cruise. And if you had blue jeans that were actually Levi Strauss with the tag on it, and you had Zippo lighters, you could trade them for almost anything you wanted overseas.
100%. And M&M, I think, is the same way. It's kind of like iconic, you know?
Yeah.
It was one of the first. Did you ever watch
Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola, I mean.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, evidently that Coca-Cola store does just fine, so.
Dude, we were in it last trip. It was packed.
Yeah, and Lisa gets a picture with that silly bear every time we go in there.
Yeah,
so.
My wife has a whole Coca-Cola collection upstairs, and it's put away in a tote because it was one of those things. Like, my wife's not into collecting things, so we were making a bar at one time. We were going to make a bar at the house, and she was going to decorate it with that. So she bought, like, she liked a couple odds and then Coca-Cola thing. But my wife's one of these collectors where she gets a piece or two she likes, she's done. She don't need 75 things. But then everybody in the family seen she liked it, including me. So we all started buying her Coca-Cola crap. Now it's all in a rubber mate, and she don't even pay attention. Like, she's not a big collector of anything. I'm surprised she's held on to me this long, John. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think she's the opposite of our buddy Dennis, because I think Dennis's problem with the pins was he's a completionist. He said he started collecting stuff and he couldn't stop. And so didn't he tell us at one time that he got that job at the Disney store up there by him just so he could be there and get the discount on the newest pins.
Yes.
So yeah, he's about the opposite of your wife when it comes to that stuff. So.
But yeah, there's a bunch of iconic things, and if you watch Mars, the I told you about the foods that made America. If you ever get to watch that series, it is awesome. It's on the History Channel. If you get a chance to watch that, and it talked about when M&M's were created, it was really cool. The guy came to Hershey and showed him what he had, these candies that wouldn't melt in your hand. Oh, they go back a long way, John.
Yeah, I believe it. Although I've disproven that a couple of times here in Florida, that they don't melt in your hand. So.
Well, if you hold them for an hour and a half, John, they'll melt. I know you got to prove it wrong.
It's not an hour and a half down here, believe me.
Disney Springs will be welcoming a new M&M retail location on the west side in 2020. Guests will be fully immersed into an interactive chocolate experience that will create more moments and more smiles throughout the colorful fun of M&M's, said Patrick McIntyre, director of global retail for Mars Retail Group. The new store will be located in a former Fit to Run and Curl location next to Splitsville and just across from House of Blues. 2020 will begin the year for the West Side. In addition to M&M, there will be a new Circus du Soleil shows and soon to open CityWorks Restaurant NBA Experience and a new Beatrix restaurant. The existing location in the Florida Mall is expected to close. There you go, John.
Well, there you go, yeah.
With the new opening of Disney Springs M&M's. Now, I'm telling you this is going to work. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because I'm going to go into this M&M store and buy a bunch of crap to go watch Circus Soleil.
Okay.
It'll be like its own little refreshment stand there, John.
You can buy a bunch of M&Ms to eat while you're watching the new circus show.
Yeah, the new movie. And the movie theater's right there, so maybe you fill your pockets before you go see the new Star Wars movie with some M&Ms.
I'm sure even as overpriced they'll be in that M&M store, they're still going to be cheaper than the movie theater.
Exactly. So it'll probably work more here. Not just that. It's a lot of these companies, John, they put these stores in, and this is just like a big billboard, and anything they sell is just the added bonus.
Yeah, and M&M's already has a marketing agreement with Disney. Obviously, you see their candy for sale all over the place, and it's one of the premier ones, or the prominent ones, that they give away for the trick-or-treat trails at Halloween. So obviously there's already an existing long-term agreement there. So
yeah, so I'm okay with, I mean, I have some M&M stuff around here. Like I said, I got two cars I gotta sell, trying to unload them John M&M cars. Are you going to go see this too? If you get to go see Rise of the Resistance, John, you'll be able to see the new scenes at Star Wars.
Yeah. If I get out there, I'm definitely going to go ahead and try to run over to Star Tours and ride that once or twice. So
there's a Star Wars, A New Galactic Spectacular, to feature new scenes from Rise of Skywalker, which I'm going to see before you, hopefully. And then they have the new itinerary on Star Tours. Did you watch the video at all, John?
No, I haven't seen any of this stuff. I'm trying to keep it away from me until I actually see it. Everybody gets, I don't know, like the movie, everybody gets so upset if they see a spoiler or something on Facebook, and they're going to go off Facebook until they see it and stuff like that. I just don't pay attention. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, you know, and if I do see something, it's not going to ruin my life. So.
Okay, well, that changes my idea. I was going to shoot you a text that has spoilers in it after I see it.
Yeah, I
was going to record the ending and text it to you while I'm sitting in the theater tomorrow. I'll get a man in New Jersey arrested for bootlegging the Star Wars video,
exactly,
trying to break his buddy stones.
Well, that might be a bad idea.
Yes, Star Wars Adventures Continue is now updated with a trio of Kef Burr and Ocean Moon featured in the new Star Wars Rise of Skywalker film. Also opening today is an updated Meet the Makers film and props from the film of Star Wars at Launch Bay. The new edition opens today at Disney Hollywood Studios alongside the December 20th opening of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. So the new scenes have been put in for like over a week now. So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. So I know at one time, they had, and I told you this after we wrote it that one time, they had already put in there where you landed at Galaxy's Edge after the attraction, at the end of the ride. So that was really cool. So yeah, seeing some of the new planets, it would be nice if I could actually see the movie before I go see this, so I would recognize the planets. But
yeah, I'll tell you what, John, that Rise of the Resistance ride, it looks big as heck from the video I watch. Like, you go from all these different rooms and stuff, it looks pretty intense. Like, not intense as far as like it's going to scare you, but there's a hell of a lot going on. You're moved constantly from here to there.
Yeah, and the show buildings are immense, so just massive. So
yeah, it kind of reminds you like some of the rooms you go into, and I'm not saying it's exactly like that, but there's a couple of them, like, know how you go in the room before you get on Dinosaur and they talk to you?
Yeah.
You have, like, that room.
Felice Overshadow.
Yes.
Too.
And then also, like, on Test Track where they lock you in the elevator for a couple minutes.
Yep.
You go from different rooms like that. But there's a couple of them, it seems like, before you get on the trackless ride.
Well, I mean, the attraction itself is much different, but Flight of Passage definitely has. What do they have? Two rooms that you go into before you actually get into the attraction, so...
Yeah, so it's pretty intense. It looks real. I'm excited about seeing it.
Yeah, so am I. I got to get off my butt and get some of this done, but actually none of my passes are good right now, so I have an excuse. So.
Oh my God, what's this going on here now? We might have breaking news, John, that people's going to get upset. Judith might really get upset. I got to read this, John. It says Sanaa removes bread service option with only three accompaniments at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, they're going to leave the option where you get more accompaniments, but you can't have only the three left anymore.
What's that mean, John? I'm not understanding.
So you at one time you would have been able to order the bread service and only have three accompaniments, like the different sauces, and now you have to order the one with the more sauces. You know, you can't just have the three. So they're going to get rid of the cheaper option.
Oh, they're making you pay more. Okay, now it makes sense to me. It has all to do with money again, screwing the cast over. I got it.
Yeah, there's no denying that the sumptuous, spicy flavors of Sanaa at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge are what draws repeat guests and locals back to the Savannah View restaurant over and over again. But if there's one menu item that becomes nearly synonymous with this fan-favorite resort table service restaurant, it's their Indian-style bread service, served piping hot with a variety of chutneys, pickles, and dips. So if you're a fan of Sanaa's bread service, you should be aware of certain changes to the menu recently, which may affect your usual pricing and sauce options. While many guests would opt for the bread service with three accompaniments for $13 to better suit their taste and budget, seems that that's now gone, leaving just the option for the all-out nine accompaniments for the new price of $18. So there you go. So instead of having the $13 option, you have to pay $18. So you can still order individual breads for $2.50 each and individual sauces for $1.50 each. However, the math doesn't play out in their favor there. For example, if you choose to order five breads and three sauces, that would be $17. So you might as well get all nine sauces for just a dollar upcharge, making the bread service charge to $18.
Yeah, or
and they also noticed that's an increase of $2 since their last review of Sanaa.
There you go, Bob. Mr. Iger, get your money, buddy. You got to get it from us any way you can. God forbid there's any kind of bargain out here at any of the property. If he finds out, he grabs it. If it's under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah, and that wasn't even really that necessarily a bargain. It just meant that you only won three sauces. I mean, the one time we got it, we did get the nine just because I wanted to try everything. Yeah. So, but for people that have had it several times, they know which three they like the best, and they don't need all nine sauces. So
Disney just wants to whack you over the head. But see, what you should do, people, is if you sit down the same time as a guest next to you, ask them if they're doing the bread service. If they say yeah, just ask for an extra plate and let them split the sauces and put them all over your plate and just order bread for $2.50 and stick it right up Disney's rear end.
You have all these tables sharing sauces.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to get to know your neighbors, right?
Yeah, you don't.
Until that one guy, Doug, sees double dip.
No,
and then
you
all
don't.
Of a sudden there's
No. You don't double dip. You ask for another plate. You take you take the spoon and put the sauces on that plate, all nine of them, split the sauces, and just hand it to the let them have their own plate on the table. No double dip going on. That's why the spoons are there. But if you ordering the bread service, if I was down there like with just me on a guy's trip and I seen another family sit down and say, you ordering that? I would give them the sauces for free, just to stick it in, stick it back at Disney. I mean, they got to get you no matter what, don't they, John?
Yeah, that one seems kind of ridiculous because, like I said, when we did order it, we, of course, ordered. And if I will go again,
we ordered the nine too, John.
Yeah,
to try
because
it, like
I wanted to try everything. But people that eat there every week, or, well, not every week, but once a month, or even if they eat there once every other vacation, which probably Tommy and Judith do.
Yeah.
They probably eat there, and they probably know which three sauces they like the best. So, yeah, it's a way of making them order nine every time now. So
it's just like and this is the thing that all you, I'm constantly seeing this on Twitter now. You're nitpicking. You're constantly picking on Disney. You're the people that yelling at Disney. It's like, stop. They're wrong. They do stuff wrong. They aren't always right. It's like, you know, I know you love your child, but when he does something wrong, you have to correct him. No, my never did anything wrong ever. He was always perfect. Come on, John. Are you perfect? I know I'm not.
I don't think so. If I was perfect, I would have done a lot better things in my life.
So. Yes, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like they act like you're doing it on purpose. You just love to criticize.
He's always picking on that Disney.
It's like, stop already.
See what happens if you pick on Disney, they pick on you, and you're gonna pick back on them. So.
Yeah, it's fine. They can pick on me. I know I'm an old smudget, but the point of it is when they do something wrong. I mean, why do you gotta get for the bottom line is every nickel and dime. I'm telling you, I kid about that Wreck-It Ralph thing, John. I'm serious. He's gonna hold you upstairs. He's going to take your – not even just your change. He's going to reach in your wallet, and he's going to insert every credit card and set it to the limit on you before you leave the park. Max out. So only take the credit card that you want to use on that trip. Don't bring all your credit cards because they'll be maxing them out on you. So Bob can get another moat. What else we have here?
I don't know, but here's your stuff, so might as well say it. All right, a more adorable new Baby Yoda apparel from The Mandalorian arrives at Walt Disney World. We've all been worried about that child for the last few weeks, but with the debut of the season finale of The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, Baby Yoda has finally arrived at Walt Disney World in apparel form. There are three styles to choose from: a long sleeve T-shirt, a scoop neck T-shirt, and a classic crew neck T-shirt. And they all say, it looks like they all say the crew neck one says the child and has three different pictures of your Baby Yoda. The Heather Gray long sleeve features three panels showcasing Baby Yoda looking in a number of directions. The word the child are printed on light green. The light green scoop neck tee for women features the Mandalorian logo in gold foil plus a print of Baby Yoda himself. The bottom of the tee is unhemmed and is slightly longer in the back to cover your assets. All right. The Mandalorian Baby Yoda crew neck tee. He likes to travel in style inside his floating crib pod where you can see him alongside the Mandalorian and Star Wars logos. And we found these tees inside Mouse Gear at Epcot. Well, there you go, Doug. So if you're looking in Disney's Hollywood Studios, you may want to have your tracker fob checked or you'll never collect this bounty. Ha, ha, ha. There you go. So, but yeah, that's over at Mouse Gear. But I guarantee you they'll be – within a couple of weeks, they'll be park-wide, wouldn't you think?
Dude, they'll be in Wawa soon.
they'll be here at Walmart within 2 or 3 weeks.
Let me ask you this, John. How many tattoo artists are practicing drawing Baby Yoda as we speak?
Oh goodness, I don't know, a tattoo. I'd prefer the Mandalorian, but that's me. But
no, but I'm telling you, the number one Disney tattoo probably next year, over the next year, will probably be Baby Yoda.
Yeah, me and my wife were talking last night watching that Clemson game of who's going to be on TV more within the next couple of weeks. Is it going to be Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, or Baby Yoda? It might be Trevor Lawrence because they love his little hair flick he does.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he loves himself, don't he?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow, he's a good story. I mean, he was Ohio State sitting there like, oh, my God, we let him go.
Whoopsie.
That boy can play some football.
Yeah, and he looks so cool and calm and collected.
Oh, yeah,
he looks like
he's drinking. He looks like he has his pinky out drinking tea as he's throwing the football around the field, don't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, me and Tommy were shooting messages back and forth last night about the game, and I was saying, well, we'll see, because, you know, when he gets drafted, he's not going to have that outstanding LSU offensive line and wide receiver core like he has now. So, but right now he does. He looks like he could be drinking a cup of tea back there. He took off his helmet after scoring the 6th touchdown. He wasn't even sweating.
No.
I mean, holy cow, dude.
He'll have talent around him. The NFL players are the best of the best. He'll just have better defenses against them.
Oh, without a doubt.
But
so,
he has pinpoint accuracy. And then let's get to the real crust of the story. Tommy likes you more than me, too. He didn't text me at all during those games last night.
See. No, he was talking to you last week, so, you know.
Yeah, because you don't know nothing about the Sixers, but we both know about college football, so when it come down to it, he chose you first. I see how it is. Like, we're never playing the Sixers. I'm the go-to guy because I'm the Sixers fan. But when it comes to a generic 2 games, nobody has any skin in the game, he texts you first. I see. He likes you more, too.
Yeah, well, we had talked about Gator football earlier in the season, too.
It's okay. I talk about Penn State. You know, he's heard this show. He knows I'm a college football fan. He just likes you better. I feel like this poor woman on a flight of passage right now.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. I don't know if you wanted to bring that up or not.
Oh, it's okay. That's what I feel like. You guys sprinkled me. Used to sprinkle me with pee.
Oh, very pleasant.
Woman sprinkled with urine when a man peed inside Avatar Flight of Passage queue at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Was he scared?
No, that's in the queue. It's a long, long
kidding.
Wait.
I was kidding.
Yeah, and they sell beer there. So, yep.
There's a reason restrooms had to be installed halfway through the queue at Flight of Passage in Pandora. Listen, over at Star Wars Land, they better have some bathrooms put in. The world of Avatar and Disney's Animal Kingdom, for months, guests had to make it with the queue re-entry pass to exit outside the nearby restrooms. But what if you weren't even aware of that existed? Or rather, what if you didn't care? In the wild new piece by the Orlando Sentinel rounding up various outlandish theme parks incidents this year, one in particular stood out to us. With this recent addition of the mid-Q restrooms at Flight of Passage, you could even call this story somewhat timely. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Incident Report, a woman was urinated on earlier this year while in line at the attraction, which is notorious for long wait times. The 22-year-old woman was in line when she suddenly felt something wet on the back of her leg. Upon turning around, she realized it was a man urinating at the queue right behind her. I mean, how is he not put in jail forever?
Public urination. I mean...
He had turned his back in an attempt to hide the scene, but the act still was in plain sight. The woman had kept her place in line 20 minutes until she could alert a cast member. I mean, she wanted to get on this ride so bad. She stood there. I mean, I would have freaked out.
Yeah,
man.
I think if somebody pees on me, I may be getting out of the queue right now.
I'll be getting a fast pass, John. That's all
yes,
I know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think maybe you would explain this to upper management when you got back after washing yourself off, and I think you'd be okay. So
the incident reported the 46-year-old man stated he would have not urinated if he thought he could have held it or made it to the bathroom without causing further issue. What kind of excuse is that, idiot? The woman received a change of clothes, and as if for the urinal man.
Urinal man.
No, it's so stupid. He was banned from the park for the remainder of the day. That's it?
That's it. Yeah, I was going to say that myself. Really? I've seen people banned for life for a lot less.
Yeah. If I would have gotten a fight because of that idiot not holding the door and slamming the door over my mother-in-law, I'd have been banned for life. But if I'd have peed on him, they'd just kick me out for the day.
Exactly. I mean, what?
That makes no sense.
I was leaving Animal Kingdom after working a train shift about a year ago, probably a year and a half ago, or it might have been Lion King. Anyhow, I was leaving Animal Kingdom and walking out, and there was we're supposed to, as cast members, if you see somebody in regular clothes without their blue ID out, you're supposed to, in a polite way, ask to see their blue ID so that we don't have guests wandering around backstage. And so he's wandering around, and I'm like, excuse me, can I help you? Can I maybe see your ID? And he goes, ID? I don't have any ID. I'm just looking for a bathroom. And it was a guy who, from the queue, from the Flight of Passage queue, that had made his way backstage to that huge building and was just wandering around looking for a bathroom. And he had no idea how to get back into the queue or anything. So he had got in the line and obviously got to a point where he couldn't. And so I escorted him to a restroom and got him back in the park. But I mean, that guy was wrong, but not nearly as wrong as this guy that peed on somebody. So
that's crazy, dude. It's like, where are you going, buddy? You know?
And it's interesting they put restrooms mid-queue here. How does that work? How do you hold a spot for somebody in the restroom? Does your whole family have to wait? Are you allowed to meet up with your family afterwards?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because you used to be able to get a re-entry pass to go back to your family and go to the bathroom before. So, yeah. Did you hear about this too, John? I'm still on WDW today. We got older stories I went back through. And guest asked, because I meant to bring, this came out right after last week's news. It came out Christmas Day, actually. Guest asked not to use wall-mounted beds, including Tower Studios, as issues persist at Riviera Resort. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I read this story during Christmas Day, sitting out by the fire. I was going through on my iPad, just roaming through Disney stories. And the Murphy beds don't work right, John. How in the hell does a Murphy bed not work right?
That's a good question.
I do construction, and I don't understand how, like, the inspectors and how this is a problem. Just weeks after the Murphy beds, and listen to what people had to sleep on air mattresses, John. Could you imagine going to Disney and paying this money and having to sleep on an air mattress? But anyway, just weeks after the Murphy beds at the newly opened Disney's Riviera Resort were declared out of order, following an incident where a bed collapsed and fell on a guest. Now, how is that possible? A new issue has arisen since. According to DVC News, guests staying at the resort, Disney Vacation Club Villas, have been asked not to use their wall-mounted beds, specifically the large pull-down convertible sofa beds. Signage was reportedly placed in the villas and messages were left via voicemail in each villa warning guests of the situation. This especially affected guests staying in Tower Studios, where the only bed is a queen-size pull-down, according to Krasinski. A guest reported that they were forced to move to one of the bedroom villa around midnight on December 24th. Could you imagine Christmas Eve, you're kicked out of your room because the beds of a new tower are not working? Other guests...
Yeah, that would be a bummer, but hell, you got a bedroom out of it. So you got a one-bedroom villa out of it. So.
No, well... Some did. Other guests were allowed to stay in their studio because they didn't have other accommodations with air mattresses provided by the resort. Now, John, I've slept on air mattresses. They suck.
They're okay if you're staying over at your mother-in-law's house.
Yeah, that's where I've done it. But not paying $300 a night to stay at a Disney resort.
Yeah, it's okay for my nephew when he comes down to crash on our floor for free. But if I'm paying if I'm using my DVC points, boy, no, I am not sleeping on an air mattress, you butt muncher. So.
Yes. Yeah, air mattresses, pull-down mattresses, or they rip the mattress out of the wall and put it on the floor, John. How does this even happen? Like, this is the stuff I'm talking about that 10 years ago would never happen at Disney.
Have you ever, you're a construction guy. How did that get past the inspectors?
It's insane. There should be, this is all I'm saying is, like, know how you have the trial-proof latches on your cabinets?
Yeah.
There should be something equivalent to that, like, where you pull the bed down, it clicks one click first. There should be something that holds it as you're getting it open, if you understand what I'm saying. And then you push that in to bring it the rest of the way down. There should be a secondary. Apparently, there was no secondary one on here, or they weren't working, is what I'm thinking. The situation is expected to be resolved quickly as possible from resort maintenance. Reportedly, resort management has already contacted some guests with offers of compensation as well as promises that the situation will be resolved in 48 hours. Keep reading WDW News Today for further updates. Now, I understand you're probably going to get whatever back, but I'm sorry. I'm on vacation, right? Dude, it's just, the money is... the secondary thing here. The problem is, I'm at Disney World. I'm walking around. I'm on vacation. Do you want to sleep on the floor before you get up and walk around the parks on an air mattress the night before, John?
No, sure don't.
Could you imagine a couple nights or sleeping on your mattress on the floor? I have done that back in the day when I was like visiting college friends, if you follow me, where the mattresses were on. We had crazy things. But there's something even uncomfortable when the mattress is like 6 inches from the floor. Am I wrong, John?
Yeah, getting back up in the morning,
yes,
especially at our age, Doug.
Yes,
it's just not as easy as it used to be.
No, it's just wrong. And it's like, I'm not, it should never, ever, this, at a brand new resort, this should never happen. This should have been tested 30 times. It would be like your car door flying open as you're driving down the road. I don't know.
It's like, it would be like not that secondary catch on your hood. You know,
yes.
Okay, so you're driving down the road and you accidentally pull the hood release. Well, it's not going to blow up because there's that secondary catch that you actually have to be outside the car.
Exactly, John, 100%.
And this would be like you accidentally pulled it and all of a sudden your hood flies up and smacks in your windshield. So.
Yeah, like it's just sad. It's like a sofa bed. Know how you have to like pry it open? It would be like if as soon as you pulled on it, it sprung and hit you in the face. New Mickey Mouse meet and greet inside Disney's Pixar Short Film Festival at Epcot starting on January 5th. Did you hear about this one, John?
No, so I guess that's the new spot for him, huh?
Yeah, it's Mickey will be making an appearance in a new location at the Imagination Pavilion as part of the Disney Park Short Film Festival. Just inside the entrance to the attraction, the first room, not the video pre-show area, you'll find Mickey greeting guests with a backdrop seen above. So it looks like a film collage behind them. If you a skewer, you understand what I'm saying? Scrim, John, like with all
right,
film.
Right, yeah.
It has Steamboat. It's all Mickey throughout the years. And you'll be meeting Mickey Gress with the backdrop scene above. Mickey is set to arrive at the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival on January 5th. It is unknown how long he'll be there. That's pretty cool, though. You get to see Mickey and then go in and see the shorts. Maybe it might even get more people to watch that.
Yeah, that does sound really cool. So I wonder if the idea will be at some point that they'll put the new version of Mickey and Minnie out there to meet and greet with, you know, because of the shorts. And then I guess that's going to be their version that you're actually going to see at Hollywood Studios and Mickey's Runaway Railroad. And it is a different looking Mickey and Minnie. So yeah. I wonder if they will do that.
I hope so.
Yeah, it would be interesting. So.
On January 5th, 2020, the temporary character spot location Interventions West will be closing. Easy for me to say. Here's where you'll be able to meet the characters starting on January 5th. Mickey Mouse will greet guests where we just sat at the Imagination Pavilion. Minnie Mouse will be greeting guests at World Showcase Gazebo. You know where that is, John?
Yep, sure do.
Well, tell everybody. I know where it is, but tell our guests.
So it's the one out as you make your way from Future World to International Gateway on your left side, or not International Gateway, but to International Showcase, World Showcase on your left side towards Mexico.
Okay. So. And Minnie Daisy will be relocated to Future World East as a result of the Minnie Mouse move, and Goofy will greet guests in the main entrance near Spaceship Earth. So that's pretty different, especially if they're going to be tearing that down. And then Joy will be meeting guests in the Imagination Pavilion near Wreck-It Ralph in the ImageWorks area, which is currently under construction to install Joy's new backdrop and greeting area. The ImageWorks station that are being demolished to accommodate for the new meet and greet will not be brought back after the completion of the expansion. So there's a lot going on at Epcot.
Yeah, a big mess and a lot of stuff where it's hard to find. I don't envy the cast members working there now trying to remember where all this stuff's going to be relocated and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, we get asked probably 5 times a day, what time will Captain Jack Sparrow be out there? And every time I think of it, I think of Doug. But,
hopefully but, never. Get rid of the bomb.
His time is inconsistent, so it's always like, I don't really know.
Well, it fits the whole Johnny Depp character. He's very inconsistent.
Yeah, I said, I usually say if it's up to Doug, never. Yeah,
so. Exactly. They'll go, who's Doug? Who's this idiot you speak of? Yeah. And Mouse Gear's closing date has been announced. We did talk about it. It is January 5th. January 4th it's closing. Anyway, as part of Epcot park-wide transformation, its main storefront, Mouse Gear, which opened in 1999, is set to close for a major remodeling on January 4, 2020. Mouse Gear will have its final day of operation at its current location on January 4th. So hopefully you get over there, John. Originally set to close this year, the store's closure has been somewhat delayed, but it seems that the work has begun in earnest, with the counters already getting swapped out for temporary wheelchair registers. As we previously reported, the store will reopen in its temporary location in Interventions East on January 5th, 2020. That's going to be an undertaking to put a whole store in there, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting to think about, you know, the way that they redid the World of Disney at Disney Springs, where, you know, much like Mouse Gear, they had different registers all the way throughout World of Disney, but now they have one checkout area. Where you just wait in one giant queue for all of the registers. I wonder if they'll do that, or if they will still have separate checkouts. You know what I mean?
I hope they have separate. I hate that one so bad.
You don't like that?
No, I love the whole World of Disney. I like the store. I think I like the upgrade. It's nice. I do miss the characters, but I do like the store. But just the one checkout. They actually have a couple checkouts. They do, John. They have one at the end and then one in the middle.
Okay. Well, I remember the big massive one they have because they've got like what, 30 registers over there. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just remembered they do have one by the side entrance where you come in the side too, where you come in the main door. So I think they have two.
Yeah, I think the very first one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they still have one over there. But they got rid of they used to have what, like 6 or 7.
Yeah, they had one one in each area.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So, but now I think they have two, maybe three, but I know because the first time we used the big central one, last time we were down, we actually used that one by the side because Brenda just needed a hair clip. she wanted to put her hair up, and we just got off the plane, and we were there, and she just wanted to something to put her hair up. And it was so sad. Disney sell nothing for adults for hair clips in there. You have to buy a child's pack. It's like, why wouldn't they? Of all the stuff they sell, you'd think they sell also adult hair clips, wouldn't you, John?
You know, that, Doug, I'm oftentimes disappointed with the adult stuff that they have because, yeah, I mean, not only stuff like that, but you go into the world or the Disney stores in the mall, they have nothing for adults in those stores. At one time, they did.
They just had T-shirts
and stuff. Yeah. I mean, now it's nothing but toys and kids' clothes.
So. Ours just has T-shirts. They still have the T-shirts, but they're hit or miss on which ones you want. The other thing that my wife mentioned, which I think it's true, Disney should open this. Wouldn't it be cool if Disney opened like a senior adult center, like a retirement community?
Yeah, it'd be super expensive. But
if you had one, like somebody like Judith could also be one of the eight. You understand what I'm saying? We're assisted living. If Disney opened up an assisted living, it would probably be the most requested, sought after one on the planet.
I wouldn't say that the Villages is not too far away from that.
It's not, but my point is if it was on Disney property and you had nurses and all assisted living where you could, how awesome would it be, John, that be in your room and your view was Space Mountain? You understand what I'm saying? You had
ridiculous money are you talking about for that?
Well, apparently you talk to everybody that listens to the show, and a lot of them, money's no object. I'm paying $50,000 for 33. What the hell?
Yeah.
You're going to join Club 33? I'd rather put my 33 or 50 or 60,000 towards my retirement community than having paying to go in to have a beer.
Yeah, I know at the Villages, Doug, they do actually, I pass them every time, just about every day on the way into work in the morning. They almost run a shuttle down to Disney just about every day. So
oh, I know.
There are a lot of annual pass holders up there in the Villages. So.
Yeah, well, I've been there a few times. My stepfather lived there for a while. He had a house in the Villages. They have their own hospital. They have everything there.
Yeah, you know what they don't have in the city limits?
What?
A graveyard.
No, I believe that.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew
that. Located right on the other side. Yeah. On purpose. So.
That was pretty dreary, John.
Well, it's the truth. It's an interesting community. It really is.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, we've eaten there before. Everybody owns a golf cart nicer than the next guy's.
And nicer than the car that you have.
Yeah, so. I've seen golf carts there have air conditioned, John. It's crazy.
Yeah, when I delivered Häagen-Dazs ice cream, that was one of my best stores in the world was at Publix over there.
Yeah,
so.
They got bowling alleys. They got polo grounds. You name it. We ate at a couple of the different restaurants on property at the different country clubs. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, they have a brewery that they brew their own beer, and then they pipe it under the streets to the different restaurants on that main street. So it actually serves the beer that's actually like being brewed or just been brewed down the street. It's really a cool concept, that whole place.
In other words, they print money.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, will you be in for this, John? New beer caramel and pretzel bite debuted at Caramel Kiosk in Epcot.
No.
Well, there's a new beer. I'm not saying it's caramel beer. Let's see what it is.
Okay.
John. Let's just say, John, relax. It might be, though. There are three things that we always stop for in Germany at Epcot: beer, caramel, and pretzels. There are some classic offerings here in Germany, but on our most recent trip to Caramel Kiosk in Epcot, we found a new treat with all three of those elements rolled into one. You can now find an order of pretzel bites with beer caramel for $8.49. Inside Caramel Kiosk, there is an array of delicious treats to choose from, but these caught our attention for the fun presentation. A tiny mug of beer caramel is just too cute to pass up, and sounds incredible. We just had to have them. So it is a little tiny cup of beer. It's caramel. And I think you dip your pretzel bites in here, John.
I don't really get the beer element to it.
It's in a beer stein. It's caramel in a beer stein. The order appears small at first glance, but being only five pretzel bites and a pretty big mug of dipping caramel, the pretzels weren't as great as some of the other pretzels you can find in the parks, but the beer caramel makes up for it. What it is, it's caramel in a beer stein. It's not beer, John. It's caramel in a beer stein that you dip your pretzels into.
Yeah.
It looks neat. I would try it. It's $8.49. The thick and rich Werther's caramel is perfect for those who have a sweet tooth. We use the pretzels like a spoon to scoop out delicious beer caramel. It really tastes like melted down Werther's original candies, and we're perfectly happy with that. It would be good on a cold day, John, to try this.
Nah, that's all you. I like caramel, but that would be that's too much. And if I want pretzels, I want a beer with it. So.
You're always complaining on this show.
I do. I do. I criticize everything Disney does.
New limited edition pin. Details reveals exclusive New Year Eve pin trading event at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So they're going to have a New Year's Eve trading event at Disney's Animal Kingdom. New. Did you hear Presley go insane? Somebody's knocking on the door and they might not make it out alive. New East tram drop-off area revealed at Epcot entrance overhaul continued. Did you see this yet, John?
I haven't been out there, but I know it's a mess. They're dropping you off at a different place every time I go. So.
Yeah, it is nice. It's saying, here we go. What are we saying? Back in October, the first phase of the renovated Epcot arrival experience opened to guests with an all-new security area and tram loop drop-off. Now a new tram loop drop-off area has been opened on the eastern parking lot. So they are getting their stuff together here. The area is currently not in use. The areas are barricade-blocking guests for entering certain areas. But there are added more and more tram drop-offs, which that whole front of that park, again, we stated earlier, is nuts. I couldn't even imagine. These carters leaving, John, look like they're pretty much of cattle chutes getting you out of that park at night. After the fireworks.
Illuminations or whatever. Yeah, whatever the fireworks
It'll
are
always
now.
Be illuminations.
Epcot forever. Yeah. Epcot forever. So.
I showed Brenda that the other day. She was not impressed.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Now, pub, I'm just going through. Guest service emergency phone numbers now posted inside all Disney Skylander gondolas. So if you need to make a call, if you're trapped up there, at least they give you phone numbers now, John.
Don't feel alone. You can call this person.
And what's this? New Happabore sampler arrives at Oga's Cantina in Disney's Hollywood Studios. Have you heard about this, John?
Interesting new food, huh?
Yes. Traveling visiting or Oga's Cantina at Disney Hollywood Studios will find new items has appeared on the menu. The popular hangout located at Galaxy's Edge has new stacks for hungry travelers. The Happabore sampler brings together a variety of meats, cheeses, and vegetables for perfectly shareable snacks. Thank goodness they've gone back to calling it stupid stuff and not listening to all the crybabies.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you don't know what you're – I'm pretty sure that – and Doug, we read through those menu items. It had a description of what the actual food item was underneath it. So it wasn't like people didn't know what they were eating. So.
Big time whine here. We were first introduced to the Happa Samra at Disneyland back in October. Disneyland version is described as a selection of cured meats, artisanal cheeses, pickled and preserved rations, and crackers. All those other highfalutin words and crackers. While the price is the same, the West Coast version offers a much different variety as well as presentation. Now, I don't understand how the price is the same because the pay scale in California is a hell of a lot higher than Central Florida, John, I would think.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. The Happabore sampler here at Walt Disney World is a selection of cured and roasted meats, cheeses, and pork cracklings. It says a similar version was blah blah blah. They went over the same stuff again. A beautiful assortment of meats and cheeses and veggies is served in a much different plate now. It also spread out more, but is there's certainly a wide variety of mortadella, spam, and chorizo. Spam. I'm in. You like spam, John? Spam, John?
Not that much of a fan, no.
I'm a spam. I would live very well in Hawaii. I'd eat spam and pineapples all day long. We got a spoonful of burrata and a chunk of pulled mozzarella. These are a few veggies mixed into such as roasted scallions and pickled cauliflowers. The scallions were disappointing, But the pickled cauliflower was delicious. I'm like Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch. I can't speak properly. I'll tell you what, this is very interesting, though, John, if you go over there. The way it's presented, it fits the restaurant.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I still got to try to get in there at some point, so, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of things on my list.
But it's kind of like a hodgepodge on a clear plate. And it looks like something you would get in Star Wars, if you follow me. I'm not going to keep reading the article, but it's $21 for the offering, and they have multiple things on the menu. And they have some, you know, I'd seen Carmen and Brian talking about one of the friends or somebody online was saying they were getting drunk at the canteen, and Carmen, I think, said, "You must be rich." they get a little lit in that canteen. Either you have a very low tolerance or you're rich, because the offerings aren't, the drinks aren't cheap.
No, not at all. Very expensive. So even by Disney standards, they're expensive. So
now I wonder if this is going to end up coming to Disney World sooner or later. Do you read about this? It's coming to Disneyland. I'm excited about this, John. The Avengers campus construction rises at Disney's California Adventure.
I don't know. Right now we're still in that disagreement with Universal. We can't have anything with the Avengers out there. So,
well, it has to happen. It looks awesome, dude. Our Spidey senses are tingling, John. More advanced and occurring on the Avengers campus, due to open in summer of 2020 at Disney's California Adventure. The 5-acre project is going to open in phases, just like Star Wars expansion. The front portion of the land is where a Spider-Man attraction will be. The e-ticket attraction will open up areas open after the area is already open to the public, similar to Rise of the Resistance. As you can see, many structures are rising. You have to see the pictures. The construction can be seen between Hollywood Land and Cars Land near the walkway on the left side of Web Industries and growing. Dude, I can't wait. I hope to goodness it's something. I don't understand why we can't do the comics that they don't have already.
Well, I'm looking through this, and one of the major attractions they're going to have is Spider-Man, and they do have Spider-Man. So.
Yeah, I know, but we could do our – we've been wanting I can't even think of what's his name, the number one carrier, Iron Man.
We've been wanting
Iron Man forever. Why can't we do an Iron Man?
Yeah, they don't have anything with Iron Man. They don't have, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Black Widow.
We're getting away with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think they've got an agreement with the original Avengers, though. So, I mean, I think because they do – I haven't even seen a meet and greet with Iron Man, but I have seen, the villains from Star Wars, and then I've seen Thor – not Star Wars, but Spider-Man. And I've seen Thor out there. I've seen Captain America out there before. So I think maybe the Avengers is locked up, but so you have to start shooting with the oddball, the other Marvel characters like Guardians of the Galaxy here anyway, until it gets fined at some point. So I wish Disney and Universal would just trade The Simpsons for Marvel or something. Here, you can have this and we'll take that.
Yeah, because it makes no sense. We own the Simpsons now, and there's a whole Simpsons land over at Universal.
There too. Yes. So,
isn't even that old. That's the crazy part. That isn't that old. The Simpsons bar and all over there. I mean, it's not ancient.
It's probably been there 8 years.
Yeah, but it ain't like it's been since it opened. You know, it's not.
Yeah,
like
Islands
that.
Adventure's been there, or Marvel Superhero Island's been there since Islands Adventure opened.
Yeah,
a long time ago. It's been there the entire time. So.
Yeah. But I wish they would do something. Like I said, I understand what you're saying, but even Iron Man, Black Widow, things that they haven't used there. There should be some kind of statute of limitations. It's crazy. They find a way to charge me for extra sauces, but they can't figure this out. I don't get them.
I know. And I always have a feeling that there, because I know part of the agreement is that if Universal doesn't do a good job of upkeep and stuff on their characters, that they can get out of the agreement. So I have a feeling that there's this one guy that's paid to go over to Universal Islands Adventure practically every day and to check on stuff. I wish I had that job.
Well, you should see if it comes available on the list, John.
You work at Disney, but you spend your entire day at Universal. That wouldn't be bad.
It's crazy. From just glancing over the walls at Cars Land, you could see the WED Industries building, which will become the home of Spider-Man attraction, make a quite a bit of structural progress and is due to open soon. We are happy to see the project is moving forward. It's a pretty big building. You can't avoid sight lines views of Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, meaning the new aspects of Avengers Campus from Cars Land is not going to be pretty. The hexagon holes in the building is likely going to hold webbed spiders along. But it looks really cool. I so want something to do with the Avengers and Marvel in the parks. It's sad we can't.
Yeah, and I see something interesting. The Ant-Man microbrewery. So they're going to have Ant-Man beer. So
that's pretty cool. I wonder. Yeah. It'll probably come in real tiny glasses that they charge you $13 for. Another way Bob figured out how to overcharge you.
You paid $14.95 for the 16-ounce beer, but using Tim technology, we have shrunk it down.
100%. That's what'll happen. You'll be sitting at the bar. It'll show you the life-size one, and then it'll go through this like box and come out the other side, and they're little tiny miniatures for $14. And you can keep the plastic mug. As Bob's laughing his whole way to the bank. Money grubbing Bob, I'm telling you, John. But that's all I have, Johnny. I know you're getting. I'm just remembering you're sitting in the Walmart parking lot recording this. I got to get you home.
Yeah, I've got to get finished, get these groceries, and get home before football season. So, my last day is football, so I finally get to watch a whole day of football. So.
Well, pray for my birds, please.
All right, go birds, and I guess Washington's playing the Cowboys, right? So I know that one doesn't matter as long as the Eagles win, but
yeah, if the Eagles do their job, it's okay. But I could see them beating them. I could see, dude. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm just praying for the best. That's all. I'm not saying nothing because I don't have a leg to stand on with the Eagles right now. They're playing. They're doing their best right now. They have, you know, more injuries than any team in, I think, NFL history that has a chance to make the playoffs. I've never seen anything like it. But anyway, before we end the show, we really want to thank every one of you to join us here at the pub each and every week. We hope you guys have a blessed, wonderful, the best New Year all of you can possibly have, and we thank you for every single time you guys listen. We really love you guys, and thank you for being a part of the WDW Main Street family.
And everybody have a safe New Year, and call Uber if you need to. Call Uber or Lyft if you need to. So
Uber is your friend. Hey, John, maybe you should go over to the parks for New Year's Eve, make some exercise scratch.
A $30 ride home on New Year's Eve is a heck of a lot cheaper than DUI.
100%. So. And also, don't hurt other people. You don't just think of yourself. Think of everybody else. You never know what's going to happen. So
exactly.
John, you know what? I even get scared at that. I worry, I worry about drinking too, because even if you're not feeling drunk, something could happen as stupid as the guy behind you is on his cell phone, not paying attention, bumps into you, and because you had the one beer too many, you're going to get a DWI even if you didn't do something stupid. So just keep yourself out of trouble.
That's the thing. There are so many bad drivers out there that you have to protect yourself by not overindulging when you're out. So, yep, you're absolutely right.
100%. There's been many times I wanted the third beer, and I'm like, nah, that ain't happening. Most of the time, it's even the second, depending on the size of the glass. But please, guys, everybody take care of yourself. Everybody be kind to one another. Have a happy, blessed, wonderful New Year. We love you all, and we know Tommy loves John more than me. So does Judith. So one of these days, one of the listeners will like me more.
You poor guy. You poor guy. I think I have Robbie in my camp, too. So, you know,
Every one of them. I even thought Pat might have liked me more, but that ain't even true. Pat likes you more. Bob, all of them, everybody. Bob and Mary, I know they love us, but if they hung with you more, I think they'd like you even more, John. But all kidding aside,
you'll be all right, Doug. You'll
all
be
kidding
okay.
aside, happy New Year, all the great friends we have at the show, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, happy New Year, and here's hoping 2020 is a better year for everybody.
And one last thing for 2020, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and wish us happy New Year.
Please, please, please.
All right, bye, John.
All right, bye, bye, folks.
That's it, guys. We're gonna pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we'd really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.